The city of Boston is in a major building boom right now and needs construction workers to keep up. There's also a huge imbalance in the number of women and minorities on some of these jobs, such as plumbers, equipment operators, and managers. Boston requires diversity on construction projects, but few hit the targets, so training and outreach are more of a priority these days. WBUR's Zeninja Enwemeka reports.
You can see part of Boston's building boom over at Harvard Business School in Allston, where a new $100 million facility takes shape. Aiden Buick is an assistant superintendent on the site.
This is going to be the entrance to the hall right here. Outside of that, that'll be a common area. That's where they're filling in right now, all that site work.
This will be what's called a convening hall that will host keynote speakers who come to Boston.
It's going to be top of the line, state of the art, acoustically. So Harvard will try to pull them in here.
Today, a group of college students shadow Buick. They've been here at various points in the building process.
Yeah, because it looks like there is a hole under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're putting tiles up, right? The acoustical tiles or something?
Yeah, it's called ACT ceiling, acoustical ceiling tile.
These students are part of the Construction Mentor Program, started 6 years ago by Nicole Richer, a former construction manager.
They got to see three different mentors on the job site in action and get to ask questions. It's another way of recruiting students and reaching out to community schools and finding emerging talent.
Richer was a project manager for over 18 years. She says it's not an easy world for women.
I'm actually also African American, so, you know, I've been one of very few people. At times, it's been a challenge to sit at the table.
She heard racial comments and at times felt she wasn't taken seriously or given the same opportunities for promotions or better projects. Richard says the industry has changed some since she started out, and she had mentors along the way who helped her. Now she wants more people at the table, like Lilia Sakhair. She's one of the students here today. Sakhair is originally from Algeria and studies construction management at Benjamin Franklin Institute of Technology.
You know, when we start working, we think that it will be a routine for us. But construction management field is just, every day is another challenge. So I like this. I like challenges. Each project is different.
Women make up just over 7.5% of apprentices in the building trades unions in Massachusetts, and far less in non-union apprenticeships. Apprenticeships are key because they are a major pipeline into construction jobs. Sakhair believes the future is brighter. She remembers the first time she came to this construction site and saw a woman welder.
I saw like a woman doing welding, like welding steel, and I never suspect that I can sew something like this.
Sakhair is the only woman in this racially diverse group of eight mentees. And this summer, she's interning with Walsh Brothers, the construction company that oversees the Harvard Business School development.
So my ultimate goal is just to be a construction manager, a senior construction manager, or boss, why not?
There's another reason to train minorities and women besides the need for more workers. The city requires diversity on construction projects. This isn't new. It started 35 years ago under the Boston Residents Jobs Policy. And last year, the target numbers increased for the first time. So now, 40% of hours on a construction job must be performed by people of color. Before, it was 25%. And 12% of hours must be performed by women. It was 10% before. The rest of the hours, just over half, must be by Boston residents.
These are the numbers that we know it will take to have significant and meaningful diversity in the construction industry and meaningful and substantive opportunity for folks in the city.
Carolyn Crockett is the city's director of economic policy and research. She says the city works with developers and unions to make sure they understand the policy guidelines. The city shares best practices for hiring and recruitment and runs an online jobs bank to connect workers to construction jobs.
I'm someone who's not okay with folks saying that we just can't find people because that's kind of an easy way to let ourselves off the hook.
But the target numbers are not being met. And companies face penalties if they don't take steps to comply with the policy. Richard Walsh heads up Walsh Brothers. It's a 117-year-old family business, and that's the company building over at Harvard Business School. Walsh remembers the early days of the city's jobs policy.
So what happened for the first few years is people scrambled, tried to meet the guidelines. You know, horrible things would happen where someone would hire one female worker and she'd go around and sign the roster on all five jobs as if she were working at all those. But those were, I call them shenanigans.
Walsh says focus in the industry has now shifted to the talent pipeline and recruitment. The Electrical Workers Union did an ad campaign in communities of color and doubled the number of applicants for its apprenticeship program. There's also a tradeswomen's group that wants 20% women in construction by 2020. And the state's largest general contractor, Suffolk Construction, has a new executive post for diversity. It's headed up by a woman.
Did I ever think I would end up here? Probably not, right?
Linda Dorsina Forey was the only Black member of the state Senate. Now, she's vice president of diversity, inclusion, and community outreach at Suffolk Construction.
We want to set the stage for the industry. That is not just talk. You know, when people talk about diversity and inclusion, hey, we're doing D&I. No, we really mean it.
Forey says her role is to make sure diversity runs through the DNA of the company. She also wants to bring some of her state Senate work on small businesses to the table. Forey hopes to pull more women and minority-led businesses into the fold on Suffolk's development projects.
It's not about window dressing. This is really about the work and recognizing that, you know, this is an incredible time to give opportunities to women and to people of color that have been left out, you know, in terms of this industry. And this opportunity is critical when we talk about closing the wealth gap.
Jobs in the industry also pay well. An apprentice could start at $20 an hour and go up to $50 an hour once in a job, all with full benefits. Not bad for a city with high rents and high income inequality. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Zanin Jor and Wameka.